Now, last night, I went to the opening of the county's first private clinic, which helps adults and children with ADHD. Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder is something that we normally associate with children, but many will carry symptoms through to adulthood, and some people are even diagnosed later in life. The centre was opened by a very special person, the comedian and impressionist Rory Bremner. He's also the patron of the ADHD Foundation.
To see these places opening up, starting to open up, it's a beginning, really, because so long ADHD has been kind of knocking on the door of people's consciousness, and it's been so often sort of seen as this sort of stigmatizing thing about, oh, you know, this naughty children or bad behavior or the rest of it. And I mean, that is so frustrating for parents who struggle with this, and for children who struggle with this, and for adults who struggle with this, because this is a recognizable cognitive impairment. We're understanding more about the brain. We know what's going on in the brain with people who have ADHD. We know it's to do with dopamine. We know it's to do with neurotransmitters. And we can break through. We can turn people who are seen as being disruptive and hyperactive and not fitting in with the rest of society, and who therefore end up either like self-medicating drinks and drink or drugs, or in the justice system or in prison or whatever, into the creative and energetic and valued members of society that they really can be. I mean, in ADHD, not only is there is ability to be distracted constantly and to be impetuous and to be impulsive, but there is also their ability to hyperfocus and to focus, very, very intently. And I talked about ADHD being my greatest enemy and my best friend, because the greatest enemy in the sense that it leads me to being distracted, to being forgetful, to being scatterbrained, and to being impulsive and to being impetuous. But also it allows me to make these jumps, which as a comedian are very useful. But I kind of like the part of me that just lives outside the box. I like the part of me that is spontaneous. And there is... Brecht used to talk about an oyster. An oyster produces a pearl because it has an infection. That's what happens inside an oyster. And because it has an infection, it produces a pearl. And he asked the question, what do you want? Do you want a whole lot of healthy oysters and no pearls? Or should we encourage oysters to produce pearls? And that's what we're doing here.
Rory, can you just explain to me and articulate, because we talk a lot about children with ADHD, and we talk about adults as well. But for a child being in a classroom and being taught by a teacher, surrounded by other normal kids perhaps, how does it feel to be in that environment?
Well, how do we feel as adults when we're stressed? Imagine being in an open plan office. You're in an open plan office, so there's the noise. It's the noise. You can hear a little bit of atmosphere outside where we are, but where everyone is busy, where you've got a computer screen, where on that computer screen also an advert is running up in the background. You've got a piece of video in the background. Somebody next to you has got the radio turned up loud. There is a TV screen in the back of the office. All of these things are happening. Now, how can you concentrate when all of that is going on? Or if you're up against a deadline, or if people are shouting at you from all angles to get your work done. Now, as an adult, you can't concentrate. You feel stressed. Your adrenaline, your fight or flight hormones are, they're in overdrive. And that's what it's like for a child. And as an adult, you have some experience in coping with stress and stress management. We don't always do it, but we have experience, at least, that we know what to expect. As a child, they have no experience of that, so they've got nothing to compare it with. And for any ordinary child to be told, sit down, concentrate, don't fidget, remember your books, remember your pencils and stationery and all the rest of it, it's tough. For an ADHD child, it's virtually impossible. So what happens? They become frustrated. They become desperate because, they think, and when it happens time and time again, which it does, it will, because, it's almost like they forget things instantly. And you that sense of self-worth is ground down and ground down and ground down, and it's attritional. And I mentioned it's 1 in 20 children who has ADHD. Of those who have ADHD, 1 in 5 young adolescent ADHD sufferers will attempt suicide by the time they're 18 because of the anguish, the anxiety, the frustration of living with this condition. But it doesn't have to be like that. That's the beauty.
How did you live with it, though, undiagnosed?
Well, do you know what? I wanted to go back to apologise, really, to all the people I was at school with and university with for constantly interrupting lecturers. And actually, they everyone I spoke to, they said, no, you weren't that bad. And I guess I wasn't, because I was kind of a mild case, and I was able to kind of temper it, really, because I didn't want to be excluded, because it also mattered to me hugely, as it does with comedians, to be popular. So I kind of sublimated it, if you like, which is where I found a way in which I could show off, which was appreciated. So instead of being, you know, somebody who was constantly on all the time and annoyed everybody, I found a way to be entertaining, which people actually ask, you know, they kind of, instead of telling me to shut up, they encourage me. So that was kind of my way through it. And as I say, I mean, I wasn't even aware of it until I realised I saw there was a member of my family who had a diagnosis, and I recognised in them. I thought, goodness, this sounds a lot very familiar. And I looked up the symptoms, and I kind of self-diagnosed. But the more I've gone into this and looked into this, you know, I've talked to various professors and clinicians, and I say, you know, do you recognise any sort of symptoms in me? And they sort of nod as if to say, you know, you are such a classic example. So I kind of wear that mantle with a certain amount of pride, because you'll find also ADHD people, while they can be very frustrated and full of self-loathing and anger because they have messed up again, they've forgotten something again, they've not taken something on board again, they've been disorganized, equally, as I said right at the beginning, there's something about the spontaneity, there's something about being different, there's something about thinking outside the box, and also there's something about, you know, there's a courage as well. ADHD people will often, they don't have the inhibitions, and that can be a good thing, a bad thing, but it could also be a good thing, because, you know, they'll go up to people, introduce themselves, this person in our family will, they will go up to strangers, or, you know, if they're in a hotel, they'll talk to the bar staff, they'll talk to the people, the manageress, they love making friends. So there's something about not having those inhibitions that it's fun, and so you'll find people will come off their medication to make contact again with their ADHD self, but they are aware that there is a part of themselves that, if they are to function as people are expected and required to function in society, they need to they need to regulate their disorder.
You were lucky, Rory, in many ways, because you found your outlet, mm-hmm, as a child, mm-hmm, but imagine, I suppose, that child being told in school that they're never going to amount to anything. Mm. Then that starts the cycle of destruction, as you said. I mean, suicide is common, yeah, in children, yeah, you know, that have ADHD, and, yeah, and also that pushes them into a life, mm, of crime.
It is. I mean, the first documentary in Liverpool about 3 or 4 years ago, and the star of that is Gary in Liverpool, and he first came into contact with the police when he was 18 months old. 18 months old! You think, woof, that is, you know, give a guy a medal. That is pretty good. And he was breaking into cars when he was 8 years old, and he was a real scamp. And when his son was diagnosed with ADHD, he thought, hang on, there's something here. He said, would you go through my past? And so he had a diagnosis, and he was given medication. And he now regulates his ADHD. And he has... I mentioned medication a few times. I mean, it's one of a number of different treatments, and therapy is another one. But, yeah, I mean, a lot of the bad behaviour people talk about, they think about it as being bad parenting and stuff like that. If we look at those children and imagine how they must be feeling. I talked about the busy office. I talked about the frustration. I talked about being angry with yourself for messing up again and again and again. Just think of all that anguish. Think of all that anxiety. Think of all that frustration and despair in a very, very young person. And it's desperate. It's desperate. And so often it manifests itself often as, you know, with outbursts of temper or anger and confrontation. And it's the pressure cooker, really, and it's because they can't cope, and the families can't cope. So that's why I'm turning it on its head and saying, you know, let's not think of a child as being a problem. Let's think of a child as having potential if we recognise that there's creative energy here. And also they need to be stimulated, not just with medication, but they need to be stimulated. They need to be doing something that they... can relate to, that they're excited by, that they feel fulfilled with, and then they're flying.
You describe ADHD as being your worst enemy, but also your best friend. And I'm, you know, I've got to be honest, Rory, I'm kind of quite pleased you've got ADHD, because do you know how much pleasure you've given me over the years?
Well, we mustn't talk about that now. My agent says she has, we have a comedy, obviously she's got the comedy agency, and there are people like Eddie Izzard and many other sort of household names who are in the agency. And I said, how many of the comedians have ADHD? And she said, probably all of them. Lee Mack is another. We've talked about this when we've done benefit shows together, because he's absolutely convinced that he's got ADHD as well. I think it's part of a comedian's makeup. But, you know, what's great is if we've given you pleasure, it's been therapy for us too, because do you know what I mean, we love the instant gratification. When if you want to find the children who've got ADHD, very often it's the classroom clown, because that's how they cope. So what I love is the fact that your entertainment is our coping strategy.
If you want some gratification right now, Bremner Bird and Fortune.
Oh, wow.
Oh, and last year, some of the election stuff you did was just incredible.
I mean, with Cameron, I think Boris Johnson's got ADHD, I tell you. I mean, he's all over the place. I mean, you do that, even his hair is just, I mean, the idea of his hair and Boris and Donald Trump's hair, either side of the Atlantic, waving each other. But as Cameron has been, and I think it's great. I think we're talking about mental health, and I think it's important. I think we need to raise these issues, and I think it's one of the issues the NHS can deal with, and I think we're working on that. But also, of course, we've got to recognise we've got problems like migration, and a lot of not just French and Germans and Romanians, but a lot of Syrians who want to come here and be doctors. So what we want to be smart, and we've got to create a situation in this country where nobody in their right mind would want to come here and be a doctor. And luckily, Jeremy Hunt is working very, very hard. And I think the hours and the pay, I think very in very, very short order, we're going to have nobody coming here wanting to be a doctor. And I think that's a start.
Rory Bremner, you're an absolute genius.
I'm a mess, but thank you.
Lovely as well. That's the comedian and impressionist Rory Bremner. It wasn't David Cameron, it was Rory Bremner, at the opening of the county's first private clinic that helps people with ADHD. But how does having ADHD affect children? I met Dan, his son, has ADHD, and he has struggled.
We feel lost in the system at the moment. My son has been diagnosed here just 10 days ago with autism spectrum disorder, ADHD, Asperger's, a whole mix of challenges. He's 5 and a half, and the NHS local CAM system virtually doesn't exist as far as we're concerned. We've been told that we've got a 9-month waiting list to be seen by any specialists. Our son has been excluded from 2 schools. He's currently at home, and the help just doesn't exist.
He's been excluded from 2 schools, and he's only 5 and a half years old.
Exactly. Yeah.
Can you describe, Dan, when you perhaps as a parent, as his father, first started to observe things that perhaps weren't quite right?
So our son's always been quite strong, quite boisterous, strong self-will, and that sometimes manifested itself in bad behaviour, you know, biffing other children. So we've always said, up till recently, you know, there's a strong-willed child, sense of his, you know, his own self-worth and all of that, and as long as we mould and shape him and give him the right parental guidelines, he'll grow up to be a, you know, a boy to be proud of. In the summer, we started to notice that getting much more difficult, and then in the transition to year one, out of reception into year one at school, his behaviour got a lot worse, and we realised that he was very stressed, very anxious, and actually he was becoming mentally unwell. So it's gone way beyond bad behaviour. He was doing very odd things. We went on holiday and he would take himself to the bath and just rock himself in the bath for half an hour because he couldn't cope with life. So you sort of realise at that point that telling somebody off, it's not the right thing to do. He's been born with this condition, he's going to have it for the rest of his life. And it's not his fault that he was born with the condition. It's our responsibility to try and do something about that to help him. This centre is fantastic, and my mum's actually knows Polly from a previous existence, so that's how we found out about it. So receiving a diagnosis is a very important step along the journey. Of course, what we don't have at the moment is any kind of a plan as to what we're going to do with the diagnosis, but at least knowing the problem brings you partway towards the solution.
But at least you've got the diagnosis now, and I guess that, you know, you reflect and you think, well, what if we hadn't got this diagnosis now? What if this behaviour had just continued and we didn't know what it was and we didn't know and he'd been excluded and excluded again?
Yeah.
And who knows what the future could have held.
Yeah, and I think that's why so many people end up coming out of school with nothing or worse than nothing. You know, delinquents. We heard in Rory Bremner's inspirational talk about people in prison and that shouldn't be. They're just in prison because they can't cope. So, you know, we as parents, we're going to do the very best we can for our children. You can understand why people who aren't able to do that, their children end up struggling.
Dan, there's a lot of ignorance to ADHD. Right now, we know a lot more about other mental health issues, but not so much ADHD. I mean, how will this centre, do you think, help other people with ADHD here in Oxfordshire?
Well, there's just a dearth of resource, so anything is useful. I think that the team that Polly's pulled together is fantastic. And, you know, we've received diagnosis from the centre, fantastic, and we're right at the beginning of that journey. But of course, there's a huge need for diagnosis, help, medication. I've spoken to somebody today who's an ADHD person, and he's both had a diagnosis and medication through the centre. He couldn't get it through the NHS. I mean, that's just bonkers. It's crazy. I mean, it's kind of scandalous, really, the state of mental health services in this country and in Oxford. I mean, Oxford, with everything that Oxford's supposed to have.
What would you say to any other parent who perhaps suspects that their child might have a similar condition, ADHD, or certainly be on the autism spectrum, because there are a lot of things that go hand in hand with ADHD? I mean, this is a private clinic.
Mm.
This is one of a kind here in Oxfordshire and certainly in the surrounds.
Mm.
But it's not all bad.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're lucky because we were able to pay to come, as you say, to a private clinic, so that's helpful, but not everyone can. I don't know the answer because we're very early stages on our journey, but I will tell you, I asked another parent here what their advice to us would be, and they said, you've got to stamp and you've got to scream and you've got to just make yourself incredibly heard and visible in the system. And it's only when you've spoken to your local MP and counsellors and the head of the mental health service that you actually start to be listened to.
And early diagnosis is so important. So goodness your son has been diagnosed at 5.5.
Yes, no, that's right, Kat. Well, I mean, you know, at least we have a diagnosis and we can start to pull together the plan. Yes, that's right.
Good luck. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
That's Dan, whose son is 5.5 and has ADHD. He was actually diagnosed very recently by Oxford's brand new ADHD centre, as you've heard, was opened last night by the comedian impressionist Rory Bremner. You know, I went there knowing that it was a great addition to Oxford, but I just came away believing it is so vital and will help so many children and adults with ADHD.